Oh, I want that band. It can only mean it's sports, and we're going to talk basketball. The first round of the NCAA men's basketball ended yesterday. After a fairly ho-hum start with fairly predictable outcomes, there were some crazy overtime games last night and some upsets. So, where does all that leave March Madness? Get your abacus out. 64 teams have become 32. Plenty of basketball still to come this weekend, and by Monday, those 32 teams will be winnowed down to the Sweet 16. NPR's Tom Goldman has kept his eyes on the basketballs for us, and he joins us. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Leanne. How are you?
Well, you know, I didn't get a lot of sleep last night because of the show, and I'm on the East Coast, so I imagine I missed some great games, and others who were watching are pretty groggy this morning. Tell us what happened.
Two fabulous games in particular that were going on at the same time. That's what we love with March Madness, you know, when the TV's switching back and forth between these venues. Siena beat Ohio State in two overtimes on a last-second three-point shot by junior guard Ronald Moore. And then Wisconsin upset Florida State in the first overtime. Earlier, we had 13th-seeded Cleveland State pulling off the biggest upset with a convincing 15-point win over number 4th-seeded Wake Forest, which had been the nation's top-ranked team earlier in the regular season. And one other game of note, Leanne, coming into the tournament, Arizona was probably the most maligned team. Experts said that they didn't belong in the tournament after a so-so season, but Arizona sent a message to the doubters and pounded Utah 84-71.
So many of us are watching it with picture you know, TV, but you actually attended some games in Portland this week. How is the quality of play in person compared to seeing it on TV?
You know, I was surprised by the end-to-end intensity. I've covered a Final Four, but this was my first round, and it is so fast and athletic and physical. What you don't sense on TV is how each shot is contested. There are no easy shots. And the physical play, one play that stands out in particular, a sophomore guard for Akron, Steve McNeese, was under the basket, and he just got hammered by a couple of big men. And as he turned to walk to the free throw line, he was grinning, and he let out a war whoop. Like, yeah, that was fun.
Oh, hey, Tom, correct me if I'm wrong, but the NCAA tournament hasn't been in Oregon for some time, right?
You are not wrong. It's been 26 years, and the NCAA stayed away for many of those years because Oregon had state-sponsored sports wagering. Now, the NCAA said as long as the state had sports gambling, they wouldn't bring the tourney back. So in 2005, the state legislature eliminated the lottery game, and now the NCAA is back. The NCAA says it wasn't strong-arming the state, just wants to try to keep athletes away from a gambling environment, which, Leanne, is a very tall order come March because this tournament generates almost as much betting action as the Super Bowl. But, you know, while the NCAA says it does this out of concern for the players, some people at this time of year always say, well, if you're really concerned, why not provide some of that huge amount of money from this tournament for the kids who sell the product, the players? You know, for instance, set up a trust fund so they can collect money after college when they need it.
Only 2 seconds. I do want to mention the women. They start playing today. I guess I only have two or one word for women's basketball at University of Connecticut. Huskies, Huskies, Huskies.
UConn coach Gino Auriemma jokes, and we think he's joking, that his team is like Muhammad Ali riding Secretariat. They're that good.
Great analogy. NPR's sports maven Tom Goldman. Thanks a lot, Tom.
You're welcome.